Hysteria is brought to you by Shopify. Okay, Alyssa.
Yeah.
Let's start a business together.
We've always wanted to start a business.
We're
entrepreneurs at heart.
At heart, we are entrepreneurs, and I think it's finally time for us to start our business making handmade pillows that are only for screaming into. You're not supposed to use them for sleeping.
Perfect.
Not supposed to use them for lounging.
No, they're just for screaming.
They are just for screaming.
They're like lovely materials so that you don't break out.
Yep.
It's hypoallergenic.
Hypoallergenic,
yeah,
all natural,
soft,
organic, soft.
Sound deafening.
Sound deafening, but not sound eliminating. Because
no.
Because there's something unsettling about screaming into like
a, no,
have
no,
you ever screamed
that's
into
a nightmare.
A jar?
That's a nightmare
no.
I have. That's a nightmare
it's,
I have.
It's not, yeah.
You need to be able to hear your scream.
In our space, somebody can hear you scream. Just not everybody.
Yes.
Right?
Totally.
It's just like the Sigourney Weaver.
And the pillows are buy one, get one free for your best friend.
The pillows are buy one, get one free. And, you know, all of the proceeds are going to go to making more screaming pillows. We will give them to children.
You're going to pay it forward.
And all, yes. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, including our imaginary screaming pillow business. And 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands that are just getting started. Now, the screaming pillows are going to come in a variety of colors, but none of them are going to rub off.
No.
You know, you can be sure that you can scream into it a lot with frustration.
Right.
And you're never going to have – other screaming pillows will give you a telltale beard.
No,
of
not
dye.
These.
Not these.
These actually are just like gently exfoliating.
These are gently exfoliating and your face will, you'll look fresh as a daisy. You can run into a room real quick.
You will scream, yell, exfoliate a little, come back with a glow.
Nobody at the party will know that you were just in another room screaming into a pillow.
No.
In rage and frustration. I know that we're joking around, but if we were to do this business, I would 100% use Shopify.
100%.
It's so easy to use, and everyone I know that started a business has used it. Get started with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store to match your brand style. Accelerate your content creation. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography, a detail that I will be using my screaming pillow on shortly after recording this podcast. Get the word out like you have a marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling or screaming. And best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. We do ship to Canada, although you have less to scream about than we do.
No, they don't have much to scream about.
It's scream with like frustration.
Yeah.
Like, why are you like this?
Scream for us.
Scream for us. If you're ready to sell, you're ready for Shopify. Take your big business idea with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/hysteria. Go to shopify.com/hysteria, shopify.com/hysteria. Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, this week, President Trump was gifted a $400 million jet by the Qatari royal family. What's the most suspicious present that you've ever received?
Erin, the most suspicious gift I've ever received is probably a suitcase full of jewels from the Saudis.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay, elaborate. What?
So, Erin, here's a funny thing about when you work in the government. You always get presents. The thing is, you're not supposed to keep them. Because guess what? God knows what's inside. It doesn't matter if they're an ally or not. So yes, I stayed at King Abdullah's farm. And when I walked into my weird villa, there was just an... Actually, pause to the story. I didn't see the suitcase right away and called Valerie Jarrett and was like, ageism again. I didn't get the jewels everybody else got. And she's like, look on the counter. And I'm like, oh, there they are. And we had, I think she had rubies and I had emeralds. Just bracelet, watch, necklace. You have no idea.
What did you do with them?
Erin, here's the thing. Here's when people should understand how government works properly. Within about 25 minutes, there was a knock on my door and the Foreign Service gift officer from the State Department was like, give me your jewels. And they take them away, never to be seen again.
Wow, that was a suspicious present.
Suspicious present, because all of a sudden there's just like a knock on the door, and there's just they're on a golf cart with
like,
stacks of alligator suitcases.
You didn't even get to keep the suitcase?
No, we didn't get to keep anything. Wow. And then they take it to the State Department. It gets assessed. I think the jewels were assessed for $40,000. And you have the option to buy them at cost if you would like to. Okay. That's how it should work. We don't just get planes and start flying them. You know what I mean?
Get planes that were made in a foreign country that has some interest in possibly eavesdropping on our government.
Isn't the best part, though, that it was actually made in America?
I mean,
they bought us a Boeing because ours was going too slow, which is, by the way, how Air Force One is meant to be constructed, because it's the flying White House. But Trump doesn't care. He just wants his Qatari air. He's seen too many Emiratis commercials.
On today's show, we talk about faith of all kinds.
And grifting of all kinds.
Faith and grifting. We talk about organized religion, which right now is mounting an interesting resistance to President Trump's agenda. We're into it. We've got some activist Quakers. We've got a woke Pope. We've got some Episcopalians fucking shit up.
Quakers?
We love to see it. Yeah, of course. The Quakers are always in there. They're always getting scrappy. We also have a dive into the Diddy trial, which has been going on for these last couple weeks in New York and will be over with in the next 8 to 10 weeks, but not before a bunch of other stuff that is probably really unpleasant comes out. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about our new bestie.
Casey Means.
Casey Means, nominee for Surgeon General.
And
not
her sidekick, Callie.
Not a doctor. And her sidekick slash brother, Callie. And what they're selling to the American people and why it's dangerous, despite the fact that some of the things they say sound okay until they get to the end of the sentences.
But then you got to stop and Google.
And then we have Sandy Petty. You know that I wasn't going to let Caroline Levitt get away with that Mother's Day photo.
Of course not.
You know I wasn't going to let her get away with it. And then Alyssa actually has some
sanity.
You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who just learned within the last week that your Pope name doesn't even have to be a saint. Your Pope name can just be somebody who you admire. So hypothetically, a Pope could name himself Pope Ina Garten and nobody could do anything about it.
How easy was that?
Pope Cher.
Pope Meryl Streep. There could be so many good popes. Pope Nora Ephron.
I feel like if the Pope had chosen Pope Cher, we would have known that things were about to change big time in the Catholic Church.
Real fast. We believe in love.
We're not going to be turning back time. In no way, shape, or form will we be turning back time. Okay, let's talk a little bit about how organized religion, you know, I'm not a big fan of it. I think it's done a lot of pretty bad things.
Yeah.
But in this kind of topsy-turvy era of Trump, too, they're sort of mounting a
forces
small,
for good.
Yeah, they're mounting a small resistance to the creeping threat of fascism in the United States. So, Alyssa, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, well, Aaron, when this episode releases, it'll be 1 week since the Cardinals appointed their new pope. Pope Leo XIV is the first ever American pope, and he hails from Chicago, so our Midwestern hearts can't help but be proud. It's also been confirmed that the pope has roots within Louisiana's Creole communities and Creoles of African ancestry. It hasn't been long, but so far it looks like we've got a woke pope. He has referenced a desire to continue Francis's progressive, for a pope, legacy, and here are some things he's done so far to set the tone of his papacy. He told the College of the Cardinals that he named himself after Pope Leo XIII, who served during the Industrial Revolution and had a strong commitment to social issues and workers' rights. He identified AI as a challenge for the dignity of labor. Agree. During his first Sunday noon blessing, he called for an end to all war, including a lasting peace agreement for Russia and Ukraine and a ceasefire in Gaza. And during his first media address, he called for the release of all imprisoned journalists. Hey, Pope, how you doing?
Sounds like a Democrat to me. I mean, I know
there's hilarious.
I know they're like pretty really the Catholic Church, if you take all of Catholic beliefs and you just like lay them all out, they're pretty decoupled from American politics. They don't really fall into one or the other. But if you had to like put one little block on one side for Democrat and one little block for Republican, they would be like, if you actually took the social teaching to heart, they would be more Democrat than Republican. You know, I do have to issue a correction, though, because last week I said that Cardinal Dolan from New York was a dick. And actually, I have a friend who works in, like, Catholic media.
Yeah.
And she was like, he's actually really nice to talk to. So I want to say, I might not agree with, I disagree with a lot of his personal stances, but apparently he's really, like, cool. And
he can be cool and wrong.
He can be cool and wrong. And there's audio of Cardinal Dolan asking now Pope Leo if he's a Sox fan because
I love that.
Cardinal Dolan is a Cardinals fan.
Oh.
Which I find very funny. Yeah,
yeah,
I know,
funny.
Right? Cardinals all the way down. So people have tried to bring up evidence that Pope Leo is like a Republican, but like, what does that matter to you, Alyssa?
Not at all, because here's the thing. It's okay if he's a Republican, right? Like, what's the evidence? Because in Illinois, tell me if I'm right, in Illinois, you are not declared, so you don't declare a party. But
right.
He is voted— or they have evidence, NPR and Politico have evidence that he voted in the Republican primary 2012, 2014, 2016, and that he voted in the general election in 2024. So here's the thing. Voting for John McCain and Mitt Romney, very, very different than voting for Donald Trump.
Right.
So I kind of don't care.
Right. And J.D. Vance was like on the ticket. And we kind of know what he thinks about J.D. Vance already.
Yeah, not a lot.
Given some of his RTs, we know that Twitter Pope, who I think is like, it's so weird, like the Pope has brothers, you know?
Yeah, it's like that he watched Conclave with.
He was like a child, like the Pope had like, yeah, little child pajamas and like a little bedroom and like.
Did you see the TikTok about his situationship?
Oh, I don't know if that's true or not because he.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel like that could have been some clout farming because he, I guess he always wanted to be a priest and. He went straight into the seminary after he, as soon as he could.
TikTok so, spreading rumors.
Oh, I know.
The Pope
TikTok.
Having a girlfriend.
I mean, if he did, good for him. But like,
yeah, whatever. Her kids were into it.
How do you think that this Pope can best use his power and influence?
Trolling America?
You think trolling?
Like, kind of. You know, I feel like I think that in the same way Pope Francis did. You lead with kindness. You show people. People try to use religion as excuses for everything, right? Well, my religion says, so if he takes away excuses for war and the death penalty and treating people like people and just says, this is actually what God says, I think there's nothing but good that can come from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that he can be an important he can call people's bluff, right?
Yeah.
Like there are some world leaders who are devout Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some world leaders who say they're devout Catholics. And I think if they're truly devout Catholics, if you're really Catholic, if you're like, yep, that is the body and blood of Christ, transubstantiation, totally agree what, you know, if you're truly Catholic, then you believe that the Pope was chosen by divine inspiration. Like the cardinals were told by God who to pick.
That's what the conclave is. They're praying to hear.
They're praying. They want God to tell them. So if you disagree with what the Pope is doing, then if you're Catholic and you disagree with the Pope, then you are like, according to your belief system, disagreeing with God.
Right.
And I think that calling that bluff as often as he can is really important. I am optimistic about the fact that he chose Leo as his name and that he was inspired by somebody who was pro workers' rights during the Industrial Revolution. I find that very exciting. There was a part of me that was like, should I go to church? And I was like, no, I shouldn't. That's terrible. Why would I do
that?
I don't want to find parking.
Maybe like check it out.
I mean, if there's a Catholic church walking distance from my house, then yeah.
Yeah, just go see if the vibe shifted.
I'll see if the vibe has shifted. Although, like, you know, Leo and Francis were apparently boys for a long time. They're buds. And so I don't know if there's going to be people that, like, weren't going to church before who are coming because of Leo, but who knows? Who knows? Let's talk a little bit more about religious resistance because it's not just Catholics. Now, the Catholics have been saying stuff and like displaying stuff, but here are some people who are actually doing stuff.
Yep.
The Episcopal Church Migration Ministry has a long history of resettling migrants using federal grants. They've relocated over 100,000 refugees over nearly four decades, but they're ending the program now over the Trump administration's order to fast-track a path for white South Africans, who are mainly of Dutch colonizer descent, fleeing, quote, racial discrimination, to cut the line of thousands of people who have been waiting for years for refuge in the States. 59 of those refugees arrived in D.C. by private plane on Wednesday. When the Episcopal Church received a directive to resettle them, they decided to instead halt the program altogether, citing their longstanding commitment to racial justice and reconciliation. We are literally importing the worst whites. Like, like, look, I'm a white person. I get it.
Me too.
We have we're a mixed bag.
Here's the thing. Like, I don't know. Like, look, we don't paint people with a brush. Who knows? Maybe they're nice people. But I just, I mean, why do they get to get flown here on a private plane?
The like systemic,
when Afghani translators that worked for the U.S. are still waiting to come to America.
Like, and there is some talk that that status will be revoked.
Right.
Like, and so people who are already here might have to go back to Afghanistan and into harm's way.
After helping us.
But why can't they go to the Netherlands? I feel like they should just go back. The Netherlands.
Isn't
go
that
back
the
to
point?
The Netherlands. Go back to Holland.
Go to your origin
story. It is nice there. They ride
clean
bikes. It's clean.
Good health care.
Incredible. Why would you want to come to America?
To this shithole nation.
Oh, my God. Well, that actually is a really good – I didn't even think about it. It's like, why not just go back to the Netherlands? Like,
seems
they've got
better.
A better social safety net.
Ride bikes.
Yeah.
Less like pollution.
I don't understand. I mean, I
– Generally healthier.
Why would you want to go – why wouldn't you want to go to the place where, that has, like, socialized medicine that is good?
And I don't know.
I don't – it's very strange. I just am very curious who these people are. And, you know, again, I don't want to be like, I hate all of them automatically, but I do hate the process that led to them being here.
Totally. That's fair.
I think that it's like, blatant racism. I mean, we do not need to be importing people from South Africa who are white and already privileged. That is ridiculous.
It's the opposite of the whole point of the Statue of Liberty, you know?
It's the opposite of the whole point of, like, refugee status.
Do like, you know that Donald Trump, when I'm in the city now, I walk to see the Statue of Liberty every day? I really do, every single day.
You walk across the – you walk on water?
No, I'm not Jesus. I just walk to the end of the pier.
Uh-huh.
And I just – because I'm like, he's fucking get out of her business. He's just so bad.
I know. I used to – I was like pretty seriously running a lot when I lived in New York, and I moved out of New York in like 2018. And one of my running routes was like to go to the tip of Manhattan and then like run all the way up to like 14th Street and then across. And the Statue of Liberty was in view for a lot of that run. And Trump was the president. And there was just – it felt very bittersweet to look at it.
Yeah, still with her torch up. God bless her.
I'm surprised that Donald Trump hasn't tried to cover that thing in a coating of gold ship it back to France.
She was a gift to America, but she was for everybody.
All right, we've got one more story of religious resistance. And you know what, Alyssa? I'm just going to go ahead and say their pronouns are thee, thou. A group of Quakers is marching 300 miles from New York City to D.C. to demonstrate against the administration's crackdown on immigrants. Most immigrants, you know, except not Africans.
You know.
They embarked on their journey on March 4th. They'll trek through New Jersey, Maryland, and Pennsylvania, and they're arriving in Washington on May 22nd. They plan to deliver a copy of a 1657 Quaker document that represents their stand against intolerance. I'm just going to say this, Alyssa. Mighty intrigued by Quakerism of late.
Agree. Peaceful people.
Peaceful people who have been on the right side of a lot of things in American history. They're among the first abolitionists in this country's history. And they were like, they were pro suffrage, women's suffrage.
Yep.
And they were pro civil rights. They have been on the right side of all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to see this march. Alyssa, do you think that this march that they're doing from NYC to D.C. is going to be effective? Do you think it'll get Trump's attention?
I don't know if it'll get Trump's attention, but I feel like other devout and religious people will take notice of it, and maybe more will pop up, and then maybe he will notice. You know, I think that Trump is someone for whom the larger the interest group, the more he will pay attention. And I think that, you know, the Republican, look, we talked a lot about Leonard Leo. The Republicans love to cling to religion. And when religion starts to abandon them, I think some people who truly believe and truly are religious for like the right reasons will start to take notice.
I mean, we've talked about this too. Like, we've joked about starting our own religion, like the Church of Hysteria. Because, like, I believe in my political beliefs just as strongly as I ever believed in my religious beliefs. But, you know, Quakers have in the past successfully sued the federal government and said that right. certain policies violated their religious freedom. Earlier this year, Quakers sued the federal government over ICE making arrests in their houses of worship. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, you know, last week we talked about some pro-life students mm-hmm. saying that using environmental law to try to test the water for birth control was, quote, using the devil's tools against them. But, like, let's like, meditate on that phrase.
Right.
Using the devil's tools against them. Okay, we have a Supreme Court. We have a court system that is willing to bend over backwards to kiss religion's asses. And they have done so much to like uncork this tide of religious freedom. So in the name of religious freedom, you have a lot of leeway. If you are a Quaker and you are a member of a church that believes in civil rights, in immigration, in these things, and I feel like I know that the Quakers of I'm not like chastising Quakers, but I feel like if you're part of a religious faith that has a social justice tradition, mm-hmm. then now is the time to like lean into that. Like you're
yes.
doing this. Why are you locking? You've formed a human chain outside of an elementary school, so ICE can't
right.
get in because of your religious faith. If you get arrested, they're violating your religion. You know, like
right.
we need to start thinking like that because they've paved the path for people who have intolerant religious faiths to use their faith to be intolerant. Why can't people that are members of tolerant religious faiths use that same tool to slow down the Trump administration?
Now it's time for them to be like Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting and just slap that post-it up that says, "Hey, like them apples,"
mm-hmm.
and just take it back and be like, "Nope, actually, this is who we are."
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to say, I've been curious about Quakerism because you don't need to be you don't have to like necessarily believe in God to go mm-hmm. to their meetings.
Right.
It's more about like this. It's more about spirituality. It depends on what meeting house. So I did like a kind of deep dive into like what is it? Like how do people get involved? What is it? What does it consist of? And if people out there are seeking community and they're interested in like, you know, like-minded people who believe in justice, you could probably see if there's a Quaker house in your area. And if you're down
yeah.
with what a Quaker meeting is, which is like sitting mostly in silence for a long time.
She feels so good right now.
I think that there are a lot of people out there who really could benefit from the strength of being in a group, whether it's Quakerism, Unitarianism, whatever. Just don't do any crusades. None of the crusading religions.
No, none of that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we dive into the first couple weeks of the Diddy trial.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Erin, how do you maintain your mental health?
I don't.
I know.
I know.
It's so hard.
I feel like it's like a tough time right now, right?
It is.
And I feel like I'm kind of backsliding, right? And I could just backslide and be like, whatever. F it. And,
or
I could have like a little rope that I'm hanging on to.
I have a rope.
You know, and
yes.
I don't need to necessarily pull myself up to the top of the hill, but I definitely need to like not descend.
You need to hang on.
Further. People are depending on me. I have children.
You do.
I have a cat that is somehow still alive.
God bless.
There are people that rely on me, that need me to be at my best. And even when I am like, you know, who cares, whatever, everything's bad.
Can't.
I can't do that to those people. They didn't earn that. They didn't do all the stuff that's making me sad.
No.
They deserve a mentally healthy mom, a mentally healthy wife, a mentally healthy friend. Mental health awareness is growing, and there's still progress to be made. 26% of Americans who participated in a recent survey say they've avoided seeking mental health support due to fear of judgment. When people hesitate to get help, it doesn't just affect them. Like I was saying, it impacts families, workplaces, and entire communities. Not to pile on depressed people, but when you're around somebody who is depressed, it is hard.
And like, it's hard because you don't know how to help them.
And if you're the depressed one or the upset person or the person that's not managing anxiety, it's hard on the people around you.
That is why I started cognitive behavioral therapy.
Right. And Mental Health Awareness Month is a great time to encourage everyone to take their well-being seriously and break the stigma. The world is better when people are healthy and happy.
BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching people with the right therapist from their diverse network of more than 30,000 licensed therapists with a wide range of specialties. BetterHelp is fully online, making therapy affordable and convenient, serving over 5 million people worldwide. Easily switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. We're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/HysteriaPod to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HysteriaPod.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program.
I'm able to live my life and still hit my goals.
Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who would probably not be attending their dad's criminal sex trafficking trial if the situation ever came up. Alyssa.
Agree.
Diddy on trial in New York. I learned this week that his children are in attendance.
Yeah, I saw that too. The first two rows.
What?
I know.
What?
I know.
I do not understand. Like, even if I was convinced of my family members' innocence, I don't think I could sit through what they were talking about.
You want to know my theory?
What's your theory?
So he's in prison. I'm guessing that in order to avoid all of his money being taken, that he put it in trusts for them. And so this is sort of like a, you know, look what I've done for you. Yeah. That's what I mean. Or maybe they think he, all these people made up stories, including all the witnesses, maybe, but it feels more like there was some sort of enticement.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I do know that prior to all this blowing up, prior to Diddy's arrest, I know that there was a reality TV show that had been made about him and his kids.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It got pulled, obviously. Mm-hmm. It got pulled, much like that that VH1 series, Megan Wants a Millionaire.
Oh, where right, yeah.
The winner turned out to, the winner became, like, did a murder, like, not long after. While the show was airing, he, like, murdered his girlfriend, so that that never aired. I don't think we're ever going to see the reality TV show of Sean Diddy Combs. And
hopefully not.
I hope not. Okay, so the trial for Sean Combs began on Monday at a federal district court in Manhattan in front of a jury of 8 men and 4 women, and apparently a judge who's like 12 years old.
Yeah, very sprightly.
He is a brand new young judge who is younger than even some of the jurors, which I find very interesting. Biden appointee, used to clerk for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Interesting guy. The defense argued that Combs may have engaged in domestic violence, but is not guilty of the racketeering or human trafficking charges at the center of the case. So, you know what's funny? We got our outline for this episode to just like prep. Mm-hmm. And Claire, our producer, who was born in the 2000s, like has like a little background paragraph, which is like super helpful. But it's like Sean Diddy Combs was very famous in the 90s. And it's like, yes, I know. I lived
various acts such as the notorious B.I.G.
I lived it, Claire. I was racing home from school every day
East
to watch
Coast, West Coast.
TRL. I remember the first time I heard Mo Money, Mo Problems. And I was
You mean
like,
the bar song at the University of Wisconsin, 97 to 98? Of course.
I was like, this is a bop. I burned it onto a CD and I would carry my Discman with me on runs. It was my favorite running song because it matched completely with like the cadence of my footfalls. So yes, I was there when the Dark Magic was written, Claire. He was huge in the 90s, though. For people who are younger.
Huge.
He was
icon.
Huge.
Diddy White Party.
He seemed like he popped up in every music video. Every hip-hop, every R&B video.
He brought back sampling. You know, like that was really like, I mean, that's why he was just everywhere.
He was everywhere. I mean, he was not only like a mega producer and a record label owner, but he just like put himself in front of the camera in a way that other record executives didn't do as much. So he was just like really, really famous. And he was, He was arrested by federal agents in September of 2024 with a sealed indictment, which he's now on trial for. Now, that indictment came shortly after Cassie Ventura, his former partner, filed a bombshell lawsuit alleging that she had been coerced and forced to have sex against her will over the course of their decade-long relationship and that she had been abused. That lawsuit was settled, like, within a day of it being filed, but the lawsuit itself was public record, right? Yep. So it's, like, filed and everybody could read it, and it was just, like, horrifying. So Cassie, after, you know, 6 years after ending her relationship with him finally and leaving, finally, like, filed suit over what she alleged was her treatment during their relationship. Mm-hmm. It is a horrible case.
Horrible.
And the stuff that she alleges happened to her is so horrible that, like, I'm not somebody who's, like, that easily triggered by stuff like that. Just because my job for, like, 15 yeah. years has put me in contact with stories involving sexual abuse and sex crimes. And that was, like, borderline triggering for me. I would say if you're somebody who's sensitive to that at all, you should not
no.
You don't need to get down to the
no.
details. Suffice to say, she took the stand this week and was apparently very vulnerable and emotional. She's very pregnant now. She's with a new partner, and she seems to be happy and healthy. But it was she gave some really upsetting testimony this week. I have to give you a little sense of, like, the prosecution team.
Yeah.
James Comey's daughter is on the prosecution team. Maureen Comey, who is actually she's not a nepo baby whatsoever. She's got quite a resume of successful prosecutions. She was the lead prosecutor in the Ghislaine Maxwell case in 2021. The defense is led by Mark Agnifilio, who defended NXIVM cult leader Keith Raniere. So
good guy. Yeah,
I think I told you this story that I, like, kind of know another lawyer that was, like, on Keith Raniere's team.
I thought you were going to say you knew Keith Raniere.
And no.
I was like, oh, no.
No. There's this woman who was, like, on his defense team who I, like, know from back in the day. Like, I...
Wow.
I used to socialize with her. I know her kids. Like, it's super weird. She was also on, like, Bill Cosby's defense team, and now Now she's defending Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein. Yeah.
Ooh.
Not Ooh. Sure. I mean...
That's a tough path to choose.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I feel like some lawyers are just meant to be defense attorneys, and everybody is entitled to a defense
Absolutely.
Attorney in this country. But I personally, I don't think I would have the stomach to defend against.
No, are you kidding? I get disbarred so fast. I'd be like dropping clues to the other side. I'd be like, you might want to check with Rose McGowan.
She has a good friend. She definitely told about it. Okay. You're going to want to talk to her.
She lives in Texas now.
it seems like a really hard job. But, you know, Diddy is entitled to a defense.
Yep.
And that's what his. I feel like I'm more. I feel like when I was first, like, encountering the news as, like, a young adult, I was really. I was not sympathetic to defense attorneys. I kind of thought they were all, like, scumbags and stuff. Mm-hmm. And some of them definitely are. But now I'm kind of like, okay, you can't get mad at the attorney, right?
No.
You can't get – unless they're, like, doing some dirty tricks or, like, operating extra
legally. Right, like, everyone deserves a defense. That's the whole point of our judicial system. And we can't toss it overboard or hate that part. We might not personally want to do it, but we can't hate it. But you know that his defense team – is climbing up a steep hill when they capitulate. Look, domestic violence is probably something that
happened. Did he hit some women?
Might be
sure.
a thing. We see the video. Sure. Hard to dispute. But it's like they're
okay.
like, but racketeering and human trafficking, that's where we draw the line.
Yeah, that is a strategy. That is a strategy.
Yeah. I watch Law & Order. I know what they're doing. They're like, just convict us on the easy thing and let us go on the really bad stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the bad stuff without getting too granular.
No.
So she took the stand this week. She described how she signed a record deal with Bad Boy when she was 19 years old and like just a kid, right? And within a couple years, she had entered into a relationship with Combs, who was like in his late 30s at the time.
Yeah.
Which when I was like 19, 20, whatever, I remember when men in their mid to late 30s would show interest in me and I'd be like, okay, that's like a little bit weird. But now that I've like lived through my late 30s, I think about 19 and 20 year olds and I'm like,
unacceptable.
Oh my God.
Disgusted. Yeah, not good.
Right. Red. Yeah, maybe he engaged in some light predatory behavior. She signed a record deal when she was 19, entered a relationship with him, was off and on for 10 years. She said he was verbally and physically abusive and began trying to coerce her into sexual relationships with other men during the course of their relationship. And it was it ended up becoming basically her full-time job, like fulfilling what he asked her to do. Remember, she signed a record deal. She only ever got to release one mixtape.
I know. That's so sad.
In 2013. And most of her time with him was dominated by him coercing her into sexual relationships with men that she did not want to be in.
Mm-hmm. And one of the men was actually a witness, Daniel Phillip. He testified that he was paid to have sex with her while Diddy watched on multiple occasions. He said that he saw her be verbally and physically abused, that she collapsed into his lap once and was nonstop shaking. So I definitely think that he was a good witness for the prosecution.
Yeah, the trial is going to last from 8 to 10 weeks. There's still a lot we have yet to see. There have a lot of celebrity names kind of came up in during jury selection that are like, do you know who this is? Do you know who this is? Do you know who this is? A lot of names on that list. We don't know like how they're involved, if they're going to be called as witnesses, if we, if they're just somebody who's like tangentially involved or like just happened to be there or like we don't know. But there's like quite a few names on the list that are like, ugh. Okay.
House of Cardsy.
Yeah, right. But like, for now, we don't really know who's involved and how they're involved. 8 to 10 weeks, we're going to be talking about it on this show. Alyssa, what do you think of the media circus so far? Like, they can't record anything inside the courtroom. So, like, what do you think?
I think it's, like, fairly tame-ish. You know, I mean, they're not allowed inside. There's always going to be the lineup outside of people trying to get in so that they can, you know, get one of the few seats that are available every day. But I feel like of all of the cases of this ilk that we've watched, it's sort of the least spectacular.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the least showboaty.
Turned into a spectacle.
Yeah.
I think part of that is the judge. The judge has said that he just really wants to keep things like on the straight and narrow and like no funny business. And he refused to like let Diddy delay the trial. Like there's just been a bunch of like things the defense has asked for that he's been like, nope, let's keep going. Like, and jury selection was pretty quick. I think that he doesn't want it to be something that just becomes its own organism. But I do think the fact that there's no cameras allowed in federal courts contributes to the fact that this is like not – it's just not going to be the OJ trial.
That's exactly what I was just thinking. This is just – and it shouldn't – I don't think the OJ trial was remotely good for America.
No, it was terrible for America.
Terrible.
It was terrible for America. And, you know, there are some, like, themes from the OJ trial that we are seeing kind of brought up again in this trial. Like, the father of one of Diddy's defense attorneys went on a podcast and said that the prosecutors were, like, a six-pack of white women.
Yeah.
Which he got reprimanded for by the judge, because that's probably not a good thing to say. So there's issues of, like, race. There's issues of law enforcement, like, do we trust the police? Like, what, you know? And there are issues that came up during the OJ trial that I think if there were cameras and if it were more of a circus, it would spin out into those little, like, eddies rather than focusing on, like, the actual case itself.
Like, the whole OJ case came down to a trick that worked, which was the white glove, right? It didn't fit him. Mm-hmm. And just because that was on TV and everybody saw it, it was like, well, he's innocent. That's it. And so I think that it's good that we don't have the showboating.
Yeah. Well, how has the Me Too movement influenced this case? Like, one thing that I find to be kind of depressing about the Me Too movement is, like, there was this whole, like, flurry of stories and, like, we're standing up. It happened to me too, blah, 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 blah. But, like, there weren't that many long-standing changes that happened as a result of Me Too. And in fact, there's an argument to be made that the Me Too movement fueled the current backlash, the anti-feminist backlash that we're experiencing. However, the Me Too movement did inspire, like, New York State to extend the statute of limitations to give them an extra year to file lawsuits and sex abuse cases. Do you think that this is, like, one of the few good things that the Me Too movement did?
Definitely. The New York Adult Survivors Act was a great thing that Hochul did, and now they have a gendered-motivated violence protection law, which is a derivative of that. And so I think that anything that gives people an avenue for redress and for justice is a good thing. And if that's thanks to the Me Too movement, then so be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just have to say, like, reading about this, and I just want to, like, I just, like, my heart goes out so much to Cassie.
Totally.
I just feel, like, I feel so bad for her. It must have been such a scary time for her.
Right. And she filed right in that final window, I think right in the final week or two, which so many people did. There was such a flood of cases, and it's just because they needed to see a couple people come forward and use the law, and then other people felt, you know, empowered to do it too. So we're glad she did.
Are there any threads that you're looking to follow with this case?
Not really. I can't help it. This seems so open and shut to me. Like, there's fucking video. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's the naivete, probably the part of Alyssa that always hopes for goodness. But, you know, I hope that people, that the media just lets the trial stand on its own and doesn't try to extrapolate, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think, like, there's a part of me that's like, okay, do we need to talk about this on Hysteria? Do we not need to talk about this on Hysteria?
Yes.
And I do think it's important because of the issues that we just discussed. Like, this is what this is the sort of thing that happens or that comes to light as the result of changes to laws that enable survivors to come forward. Mm-hmm. Like, if that law didn't exist, Diddy could have just, like, gotten away with it.
Totally.
You know, even though there were, like, scores of celebrities at these events, I'd imagine that when things, quote, unquote, got wild, because that was, like, a euphemism that was sometimes used in reference to his parties, I think there were probably people there who saw what was happening, and they were like, this does not seem...
This seems bad.
Right. Right? Right.
Yeah.
And I think, like, there's probably a lot of celebrities out there that are scared right now because they were there and didn't say anything or didn't do anything. Maybe they're in a background of a video. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. They're looking through that look back window that Hochul provided. And they're like, let's see, where, at what point in history am I problematic?
Right. Right? Exactly. I think that, like, the reason that this is something that is more than just, like, a salacious true crime, sex criminal, big time businessman using his power to, like, abuse people systematically. I think that the system itself that enabled him to get away with it for as long as he allegedly did is something that we talk about a lot on this show.
Yeah.
And the legal changes that can be made in order to empower survivors are also things that we should discuss. So, like, we're seeing the result of, like, okay, there was a push in the media, something changed, and now this happened. So we're following it because of that, and also because, you know, the survivors like Cassie, I think— she deserves to be celebrated for coming forward and for her bravery. She could have just put it all behind her, you know, and just, like, kept it. You know, she didn't need to do this. But, like, what she's doing is ultimately, if her allegations are correct, if the allegations that the prosecutors are making are correct, what she's doing is ultimately empowering survivors in the future.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk quackery and our new Surgeon General.
Hysteria is brought to you by Armra Colostrum. We live in an environment our biology was never designed for. EMFs, artificial light, seed oils, microplastics, endocrine disruptors, chronic stress. These modern assaults disrupt cellular signaling, negatively impacting gut health and accelerating aging. Armra Colostrum revives cellular signaling, bolstering our health from within to defend against everyday threats. Colostrum is nature's first whole food with over 400 bioactive nutrients that work at the cellular level to reactivate your body's innate capacity to regenerate and thrive. Erin, ready to reclaim your health?
Sure. That sounds great. You can strengthen your immunity. mm-hmm. with Armra colostrum. It also helps ignite metabolism. It vitalizes hair growth. It enhances skin radiance, and it can help fuel performance and recovery. Colostrum is one of the most incredible substances
absolutely
in nature. It is a miracle, and it's wonderful that Armra colostrum is available for people to use mm-hmm. and harness a piece of that miracle of nature. We've worked out a special offer for my audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/hysteria or enter hysteria to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmra.com/hysteria.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who will never forget the mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell.
You know I knew that.
That's like the main thing I learned from like microbiology.
And the cilia help it move.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And something about plants having like a different cellular like shell. I don't even know the word for the shell of the
cell. Well, they become turgid. Plant cells become turgid when they have too much liquid and when they are close to exploding. We have just covered all of 10th grade bio in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Wow. That's everything that I learned. Absolutely. I also learned cephalization.
They're chloroplasts. They're chloroplasts.
Chloroplasts. I also learned cephalization, which is like as animals evolve, more of their stuff gets concentrated on their head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
See, we could be Surgeon
Class
General.
Dismissed.
We're good.
Class dismissed. So there's a lot going on. Trump's whole kind of thing is creating chaos and then going around and like harvesting headlines and making announcements. And then by the time you can actually catch up with those announcements and be like, was there any follow up on that? Did that actually happen?
Yeah.
He's out there making more announcements, right?
Yeah.
So right now he is he announced a trade deal with China that wasn't really a trade deal. It was just a trade pause. OK, look, if I took a priceless vase and I held it out and I said, Alyssa, I'm going to drop this vase. I'm going to drop it. And you're like, no, don't drop it. And I'd be like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to drop it. And then I just was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to drop it. I wouldn't mm-hmm. be like, it wouldn't be fair to be like, Aaron solved the vase crisis.
No.
Right?
Aaron stopped the problem she created.
I was about to do something and then I didn't do it. Like, I didn't make a vase deal. I just didn't break it just yet.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, Trump, I hate the like mainstream news media's gullibility and like the way that they take his announcements seriously. I don't know. Like, we haven't figured out how
to frame it. It's literally just a 90-day pause. That's it.
It's dumb.
They blinked.
Among all the chaos, you know, ICE snatching people off the streets as the neighbors
from coast to coast,
from just everywhere. It is chaos. It is noise. And now he's, you know, with his little spy plane that the Qataris are giving him, and his sucking up to people who are sucking up to him. They're just kind of like he's over in the Middle East, just 69ing with the richest people over there. I think some things get lost in the shuffle, and this is something that's really important, and mm-hmm. that is. Trump's nominee for Surgeon General. Alyssa.
Zoinks, Scoob.
Why don't you, let's talk a little bit about her. We're going to give you a little primer into who she is mm-hmm. and what she believes and some of the things she's said. And then, you know, it's just think of it as like a light mini, this fucking guy, but it's like mostly facts and not as much dunking.
Right.
Okay.
So Trump announced Casey Means as his new pick for U.S. Surgeon General after withdrawing his previous pick the day of her confirmation. Aaron, do you know why he withdrew her?
The previous pick?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Well, her name was Jeanette, I think. But
okay.
Dr. Jeanette. Turned out her credentials were a lie, Aaron. She said that she had graduated from the University of Arkansas medical school, and it turned out she graduated from the University of the Caribbean at the Bahamas or something like that. Pretty close.
Oh.
Anyway, just flagging that she made it to her confirmation. Nobody knew that. So we're feeling good.
Cool.
According to herself, Means is a, quote, former surgeon turned metabolic health evangelist, according to RFK Jr. She will be the best surgeon general in American history. And according to Trump, she has impeccable MAHA credentials, but also
He doesn't know her.
Okay. I'm just going to say that she does not have a medical license.
Nope.
She did, in fact, attend medical school, but did not complete her residency.
No.
For the unfamiliar, Means has been a rising star in the Maha world over the past year, especially after the success of her 2024 New York Times bestselling book, Good Energy, where she talks about her experiences in medical school, illuminating what's wrong with the American healthcare system and promotes the conspiracy theory that doctors want their patients to be sick. Mm-hmm. So this author, influencer, grifter might be the next Surgeon General. She's not a doctor. And when I asked one of my friends who's a doctor, I've like, you know, friends who are doctors. I asked one of my doctor friends about her, and I showed you the text thread before. Alyssa,
she
just
needed
like,
therapy. She needed therapy.
The blocks, the gray blocks that my doctor friend responded to, she just
raged.
I feel like Casey Means' intended audience are people that don't know any doctors personally. We
yes.
don't have any friends that are doctors, because if you know anybody who's a doctor personally, or if you have a good relationship with your doctor, you know that they don't want you to be sick. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, they absolutely do not want you to be sick.
No.
It is.
It's not a whole profession based on Munchausen's by proxy. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right. And she has kind of been marketing herself as like a doctor. I listened to a bunch of former of
Me
a podcast
too.
That she'd been on. Her license expired in 2024, so she can't.
Yes.
I asked one of my friends who's a doctor whether or not you can call yourself a doctor or should call yourself a doctor if you graduated from medical school but didn't complete residency or get your mm-hmm. boards. And she said, yes, you're technically a doctor after medical school. You cannot have a medical license. If you have medical school completed, you're a doctor, but you can't get a medical license. So med school plus an intern year completed, plus you pass all the step exams, you can practice medicine with an unrestricted license, but you don't fucking know anything. If you complete
Amazing.
Medical school and intern your residency and pass your exams and pass your board, you can practice independently as a board certified whatever you are. So I think a lot of people that aren't in medicine aren't familiar with that. I certainly wasn't familiar
I wasn't.
With that.
That was
so,
news.
Yeah. She's basically my friend who's a doctor was like, she doesn't fucking know anything. And she said that she was a surgeon resident, right? A surgery resident focusing on the
right.
head and neck.
Yep.
But all of her work has been about nutrition. And there would be no reason for her to know anything about nutrition. One thing about the medical field is once you enter med school and you start like, you know, you start kind of like moving toward a specialty, like you don't really learn about other
no.
specialties.
And she even says in a couple interviews that in her time in med school, there was never a course on nutrition.
Right. She founded a bio company called Levels, which made glucose monitors similar to those used by diabetics available to the general consumer. The company has been accused of surveilling people for their medical data. Her co-founder, Sam Korkos, just so happens to be a high-level DOJ operative on the team working to dismantle the IRS. Casey is also a Nepo sister. Her brother, Callie, is a former food lobbyist. That's in quotes.
We have a lot to say about him.
Callie already works for the Trump administration as a senior advisor to RFK Jr. He's accredited as a co-author on Good Energy. And honestly, Alyssa, I listened to their Rogan interview, and they really give me a light Lannister vibe.
They are.
Like,
it's creepy.
I feel like when they were during the interview, I felt like they were holding hands. I can't
Without
tell you why.
Question. But,
I can't
and,
tell you
but,
why I
But
felt
in
like
a
that.
Very, like, he was the leader.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right?
So yes. So if you are interested in more of about, like, Casey Means and who is this, like, wellness influencer turned author, if you listen to their Rogan interview, he talks so much more than she does.
So much more.
And it sounds like they're giving a sales pitch to Rogan's audience. And I listened to other interviews.
A pretty effective one.
Yeah, it is. But it is a sales pitch.
Totally.
It is a sales pitch. And the sales pitch
It's like
pitch
an MLM pitch.
Yeah. The sales pitch is like, the doctors are against you.
Yep.
We understand what's really happening.
Mm-hmm.
They want you sick, but we want you healthy. And you need to listen to us if you want to know about health, right?
Yep.
And what's funny is, like, listening to them talk, there are certain things that I'm like, they are completely right about the premise of what they're saying.
Absolutely. That's what makes them so dangerous.
Exactly. The premise is the American healthcare system is broken and expensive, and people are chronically ill, and we don't understand enough why. We're focusing so much on treating chronic illness that we're
right.
not really understanding why people are chronically ill. Completely agree with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I disagree when it's like what their solutions are. And I disagree. And I also have to say they come across to me as charlatans because they exhibited these specific things that charlatans, especially in the wellness space, tend to do. And Alyssa, you and I texted about this yesterday.
Yes.
So if someone is teaching you about something that is a little bit over your head or a little technical, what they'll do is they will break it down into pieces and explain each piece and make sure before they move on to the next piece that you understand so that you can move on in your understanding.
Mm-hmm.
A charlatan who is appealing to low information people will use a big word and make it and flatter the audience by making it seem like they assume that, like, of course you know what this big word means. They won't explain it. They'll just use the big word and just kind of flatter their audience into thinking that they're part of this in-group, right? You're part of a group that the smart person can talk to that will understand what they're saying. And then what they do after that is say a bunch of things really fast that use that big word that has not been defined as like a basis, or a big word that's been defined with like a not quite right definition, and then move forward quickly with a bunch of points that don't necessarily follow. But now, if you are like the low information, like if you're the mark, you've already been flattered by them. They've already told you are smart, and I'm going to tell you how to like beat the people who are like against you, right?
Yes,
and that's what they do. They so this is how, like, if you listen to any interviews, knowing that they use a big word, make you feel like you're included, give a dubious definition of that word, and then just like speed run through a bunch of quackery.
There's another trick that they use, Erin, and because you and I are nuts, I couldn't stop. Because they kick off the episode where they talk about how like 30% of SNAP money goes to sodas. Mm-hmm. And you and I were both like, that's fucking bullshit. It's actually true. We Googled it because we were like, that can't be true. However, the statistics they use as the episode goes on, all 2 hours of it, become looser and looser and looser to the point that they are not true. So at one point he says, he talks about how in the 1950s was the first time, late 50s, early 60s, when birth control pills came out, it was the first time in America that people were given pills for extended period of time, right? Mm-hmm. And that before 1950, we didn't treat everything as chronic and that we were healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Except, Erin, the lifespan, the life expectancy of the average American in the 1950s was 66.5 years for a man, 71.8 years for a woman. Do you know what it is in 2025?
It's like in the early 80s, right?
79.5 years.
Right.
So, okay. Like, they just were giving all of these. He said that how basically the problem with women, instead of facing nutrition and their health choices, that they were relying on pills. First, it's the birth control pill. And then by the 1970s, 30% of women were on Valium.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Erin, in the 1970s, 20% of women reported having used Valium. Only 10% used it with any regularity.
Okay.
But, like, they kept throwing these things out. You're like, well, and the thing is, if you listen to what they were just saying and not fact-checking like Daniel Dale on CNN nonstop, you're like, oh, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, of course, that makes so much sense.
Joe Rogan doesn't fact-check.
No.
He doesn't fact-check. He just lets people go on there and just
talk,
say what the fuck ever.
He said very little. You wouldn't have known he was really there for huge swaths of the podcast.
No, he was probably just, like, scrolling through his phone because he was just kind of like,
he was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, whoa.
Wow.
Wow.
And then sometimes he does
this.
God.
Ugh.
Just need to be healthier. Just need to eat better.
It is really, look, like, again, the thing that is so seductive about what they're saying is that the underlying thing is like 100% correct. And they're also identifying the reason that the wellness space has become a like $6 trillion industry or something crazy like that. The wellness space has become such a huge industry, so rife with quacks, because the system, like, basic healthcare is inaccessible to a lot of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And basic healthcare is like trying to play catch up. Like, there are so many people that need so many things. There's like, and I also think like a profit-driven pharmaceutical industry is developing drugs that can treat chronic conditions rather than investigating causes, right?
Right.
Like, why would Pfizer be like, we got to get rid of diabetes? Like,
right.
You know what I mean? We got to nip it in the butt. Like, Pfizer makes medicine. Like, they're not going to try to, like, eliminate the purpose.
Well, and part to that end, one of the theories they come up with sounds so it's seductive, right? They're like, they start with the top sort of thesis was Alzheimer's and why younger and younger people are getting early onset Alzheimer's. And their theory is diabetes, that everything's metabolic, and that our brain is like 20% of our body, but it's 2% of our body uses 20% of our energy. Mm-hmm. And therefore, when we have diabetes, we're actually having fatigue in our brain, and the plaque. Again, she's not a doctor. She says the plaque in our brain actually could be in armor that our brain is trying to, like, I mean, she's just saying this like it is like she is a genius medical person. But then they go on to talk about Ozempic, which it is hard to tell whether they are for or against. But the seductive thing that they had was, here it is in America, you want to put a teenage kid on Ozempic. Not clear that that's really happening. Mm-hmm. Put a teenage kid on Ozempic.
Yeah, they were saying like 6-year-old, 12-year-olds on Ozempic, which is like the same.
No.
That was like, okay, citation needed. Like,
citation
where is this
needed.
Happening?
And she said it's $1,600 when you could just go ahead and give that family $1,600 a child to eat better.
I mean, if a child is being prescribed Ozempic, which I've literally never heard of, but if they are in fact being prescribed Ozempic, there's probably a medical reason for it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think doctors
right.
are like, yeah, like, here's a fat kid. Like, let's totally. Inject him with something forever. Like,
Interesting thing, too, is that they ignore their, and this is like to what you were saying, they ignore everything outside of what they're actually saying, mm-hmm. right?
When you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Exactly. So they're like, you know, and it's like, we just need healthiness and we need kids to have food. Okay, well, you're actually supporting someone who has taken away the ability for schools to get farm food from farmers mm-hmm. into school lunch programs. You're actually supporting someone who is taking away lunches from schools, number one. And all of these things that can also be attributed to pollution, chemicals, toxins, contamination, you have no issue with the EPA regulations that they're rolling back. I mean, it's just all fantastical.
Yeah. I mean, and they complain about, they talk about like infertility, a rise in infertility. Mm-hmm. Like that is a serious concern. Absolutely. But like you're really telling me that the only reason the infertility is rising is because of what people are eating?
And he
said
corruption.
It's not because of air pollution? What?
He also said corruption.
Corruption. The oh, right.
Fertility
right.
crisis is a byproduct of corruption.
Right. It was, I find him especially to be chilling. Like, I find him to be a very, like, a scary, like, opportunist. And, like, even on the Rogan show, he had, like, this it sounded like a rehearsed story of, like, you know, I used to be anti-Trump.
Totally.
I thought,
I was a never-Trumper.
This is another thing that happens, like, in the conservative quackery space is that everybody has a conversion story. Everybody
yes.
has, so many people have conversion stories. If you've ever hung out with like far right people, a lot of them, they either have their own conversion story where it's like, I used to be a Democrat and then this happened. And it's like rehearsed. It's almost like a born again Christian conversion story.
They also repeatedly talk about how bipartisan what they believe is without much substantiation.
Mm-hmm. I think that their identification of the underlying frustrations is 100% bipartisan, but mm-hmm. their solution to those frustrations is like borderline quackery. You know, usually surgeon generals have an active medical license, which
yep.
Casey doesn't. Completed residency, which she hasn't. And have held a leadership role in a medical institution, like a chief medical officer, for example. She's done none of these things. Mm-hmm. She has yet to have any confirmation hearings, but we also know that she's like anti-vax light, you know?
Right.
So she's like not anti-vax enough for the hardcore anti-vaxxers, but she's also not pro-vax enough for me to want my kid to go to a clinic where her, you know what I mean?
Well, like, her vax stance is equivalent, I think, to this. This is like adjacent to something that she said. It's not that one vaccine is bad. It's the 18 before the 19th vaccine. You're mm-hmm. like, what?
What? Yeah. She also endorses raw milk.
She loves raw milk.
Let me just say this. I think drinking raw milk is stupid. If you drink raw milk, I think you are stupid. Unless it, like, I think that you're stupid. Like, I grew, and I'm saying this as someone who did used to drink raw milk, not by my own choice. I grew up next door to my grandparents who had a very small farm. They had like 3 or 4 cows at one time. Like, it was like a subsistence farm. And you know, we would milk the cows every night and we would drink the milk. We would make butter out of the milk. And it was raw milk from my grandparents' like house. It went
right
from cow to like our fridge. And then my dad would skim the cream off. And so like that's what I drank as a kid. I would say now, if it were me making that decision, I would probably like boil it a little. You know, I'd like pasteurize it at home.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's a bad idea. It is a bad idea. Who knows what pathogens lurk within my body
as, no idea.
As a result of
There's
that.
Bird flu out there.
I mean, yeah. Also, this was like the 80s.
Yes, so it's a different time.
It was like a little bit of a different time, but like, oofta. Yeah, we do not need people drinking raw milk. And talk about infertility really quick. Like, they're so worried about infertility, but they're not worried about controlling pathogens in food and milk. Pathogens in foodborne illnesses are extremely dangerous to the reproductive system. They're extremely dangerous to pregnant women or women trying to conceive. They are so dangerous to fetuses. So, like, you're concerned about infertility, but you're not concerned about controlling these pathogens that, like, directly lead to fetal loss. Like,
I guarantee you these two are also people who are like, you can help your perimenopause by just eating better, hitting your protein, and going for long walks every day.
And some people maybe can. Some people
maybe they can.
But and I think
don't
that
shame me.
I think that there's nothing wrong with being like, hey, we need to like prioritize people moving around more. But I also found it very laughable that they're like, God, people just aren't exercising. And it's like, where do most Americans live? What do those towns look like? Are there sidewalks? Were they designed with cars in mind? Like, are we prioritizing city plans that make it more difficult for cars to dominate the entire landscape?
Oh, that was another thing that she said. She said that doctors have never prescribed nutrition or exercise to patients. And that, I mean, like, they just wanted this whole thing. But the one thing, Aaron, that he said, and I caught myself, because I know you listen to it fast. I can't listen to it fast. I had to listen to it slow because I'm older and slower. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did he just say that? And I rewound it. He said, this was watching these two men. This is the election of our lifetime. There is an existential threat. Aaron, he recorded this on October 8th, 2024. Kamala was the nominee. And Joe Rogan didn't change him. But to me, I just felt like it was so intentional and such a, like, how many million people listened to Joe Rogan and were like, yeah, him, Joe Biden. I don't know. I thought it was particularly shady.
Right. It was shady because I don't think either of them are idiots. Mm-mm. Like, they're not dumb. I do
can't
think
be that dangerous.
But it does feel like you're watching like a, I mean, listen to some of her interviews, because I listened to her interview with Barry Weiss, and the tone she takes is markedly different. Markedly different. Because she's talking about her book with Barry Weiss, which is a lot less like, I mean, I think that the idea that doctors want patients to be sick is like offensive to me, and I'm not even a medical practitioner. Like,
totally. No, it's the same with her newsletter. It's a very different tone.
Right. It is a totally different tone. So I feel like she's like pitching VC. Like, she seems like she's always like pitching venture capitalists to like give her a cash infusion.
Yep.
And like, it just, I hate that vibe. I guess maybe I've lived in California for too long, but I can like pick it out from a mile away. Mm-hmm. Another thing about maybe living in California for too long was like, there's like a list of some of the things that Ms. Means did to try to attract her soulmate after she turned 35. And they were all like woo-woo, and people were making fun of them. They were all like, she went on walks and talked to the trees.
Oh,
she,
right, did, the trees.
They were all like the secret, like, pilled sort of.
Right.
And you know, it's funny, when I read that list, I was like, this all seems kind of normal. Like, I mean, like, but she's like,
no major flags.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. It's a little woo woo. It's a little silly. But if it worked for her, it worked for her. And then I was like, oh, I am like, I've been out here for too long. There is a crystal store down the street and around the corner from me. Maybe I need to like look at it.
We
from,
just
like,
got our first crystal store.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Ours is called House of Intuition. Ooh. And on the outside of it says, your intuition led you here, which weirdly, when I see it, I'm like, no, it didn't. And I don't go in.
Because no one's going to tell you your business.
I've got a real like anti-authority streak that manifests by me not listening to the sign outside the crystal store. No, it didn't. But yeah, Mrs. You know, maybe Casey Means has used the crystal store that the intuition led her to. But she has been getting criticism from all sides. I'm not sure if she's going to get confirmed. Like, she's 37. She's doesn't really...
I think she's going to get confirmed.
I don't know. I feel like her getting confirmed depends on a lot of people just having no familiarity with medicine. Like, and the actual systemic problems with the healthcare system are not individual doctors want their patients to be sick. It is that...
Right.
It is that profit-seeking institutions force doctors to practice a specific way if they're going to practice at all. And, like, insurance companies are also profit-seeking institutions that are in between patients and the care that the doctors say that they need. Like, it's
interesting. They're very anti-insurance, anti-big pharma.
Yeah, I mean, but they
Which could be problematic for getting confirmed.
But I'm sorry, but, like, cutting off corn subsidies does not eliminate the problem of insurance company CEOs having yachts.
No,
it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't erase the problem of insurance companies trying to build shareholder value over increasing the quality of life of their customers. Like, it doesn't. None of that does anything. It is like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. And that is like, I think they identify the bullet wound really well, but I think their Band-Aid is pathetic. She's getting criticism from all sides. Laura Loomer, broken
Not
clock.
Not a fan.
Broken clock. You know what? I kind of like how chaotic Laura Loomer is. I like that she's just putting herself in the middle of everything, like Jigsaw.
Yeah, she's
from
mad
the
about the
Saw.
Plane, too. She's mad about the Qatari plane.
She's you know what? She's right sometimes, several times a week. And this week, she's been right more than usual. Laura Loomer said, I've not seen any evidence that Casey Means is serving the vaccine cartel with her stated objective of scrutinizing the food supply. Okay, well, I disagree with that statement, but I agree with her disliking Casey Means. RFK Jr.'s former running mate and let's just say Moneybags lady, because she was she's the ex-wife of like one of the Google founders.
Yeah.
Nicole Shanahan believes that there's some kind of foul play going on. I love it when the conspiracy girlies are fighting. She tweeted, I was promised that if I supported RFK Jr. in his Senate confirmation, neither of these siblings would be working under HHS or in an appointment. Pause real quick. I just want to say the use of the word these siblings also makes it seem like Nicole Shanahan agrees. Lannister vibes. Okay.
Yep.
Continuing the quote. It has been clear in recent conversations that he is reporting to someone regularly who is controlling his decisions, and it isn't President Trump. With regards to the siblings, there is something very artificial and aggressive about them, almost like they were bred and raised Manchurian assets.
Boom.
Nicole, come Girl. On, hysteria. Let's shit talk the Means siblings.
That is unbelievable.
Do you want? Yeah, no, seriously. Like a shit talker of my shit talking subjects is a fellow shit talker. You know, we can have exactly. I was going to say we can have fellowship over the shit talking.
Yeah.
You know, we might disagree on most things, but like, let's. Nicole, come on, hysteria. I think it'd be fun.
Tell us what you know.
Manchurian assets. I think that
Excellent.
I think that she is alluding to rumors that RFK Jr. has been, that he's been blackmailed by foreign entities. I've seen rumors tossed around that there are some people on the right who believe RFK Jr. has been blackmailed by Israel. There are some, like, I mean, again, this is like in conspiracy land. This is like, Laura.
I thought she was talking about Elon.
Well, I mean, we are deep within tinfoil hat territory. We are deep within the vaccines made me magnetic territory. We are like really, really deep. So I just want to say everybody take that with a massive grain of salt. But the girls are fighting. The confirmation should be scheduled in the next few weeks. If she gets the job, we may have to change the title from Surgeon General to Metabolic Guru General. Maybe we could say Feelings General, Vibes General.
Vibes General. It's just vibes. Vegetarian in chief. Actually, she's not even a vegetarian.
No,
she's cooking pork the other day.
I would love it if we had a vegetarian. We've had a vegetarian Surgeon General. We have to have.
I don't know. See, well, we don't even know because they were so qualified, we never even had to ask. We didn't have to look for any sort of silver linings.
Yeah. And one button I want to put on this is like, they're acting like they invented the idea that like kids people should go outside and exercise and like eat healthy. And it's like, you motherfuckers. If I were Michelle Obama right now, I would be holding a thick glass until it broke in my hand from the...
The nanny state. That's what we were back in 2009. Fucking
believable. Like, how...
We just wanted kids to move,
Aaron. Dare they?
All we said was, let's move. We gave them rooftop gardens.
And Melania pulled up the fucking vegetable garden. She, like...
She's so rotten. Like...
I cannot believe, like, just a reminder, Michelle Obama did this. She did it better and she did it first and she did it without sounding insane.
No, she just said, let's move.
She just said, let's move. On that note, let's move on. We have to take a quick break. And when we come back, Sani Petty. Hysteria is brought to you by Article. How do I love Article, Alyssa?
You love Article so much. Your outdoor furniture, I have sat on your outdoor furniture.
You're about to sit on my dining chairs.
No.
Girl. I got new Article dining chairs.
So and?
I had some Article dining chairs from before. This is how long I've been doing the show and how long Article has been sponsoring the show.
Mm-hmm.
My first round of, like, kitchen table chairs were from Article. Now, you know, we've put them through the ringer, right?
It's been time.
It's been, like, 7 years that I've had them. And, you know, kids and me being a slob and house guests and everything.
All the things.
Like, things just, you know, they got to a point where I was like, I'm ready for some new refreshment. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. We still have the old chairs. I'll probably clean them up and
yeah, of
you know,
course.
Off them.
Which is fun.
Yeah, I'll probably clean them up. But the new ones are amazing. So they are the Meha leather dining chair in walnut and Oxford black. So
perfect.
They're really cute. They have like a mid-century modern kind of look. The thing I like the most about them is they fit perfectly under my table. And so my dining room suddenly feels like there's more space in it because they fit perfectly under my table, which is also...
And the walnut matches your high chairs.
My high chairs, one of which you got me as a present.
That's how I do.
There's curated collections for every style. Article offers a curated range of mid-century modern, coastal, and Scandi-inspired pieces that not only shine on their own but also pair seamlessly with nearly any other Article product. This thoughtful design approach makes it incredibly easy to mix and match, helping you create a space that feels cohesive and stylish.
Article takes great care in curating its collection, focusing solely on high-quality, meaningful pieces that will stand the test of time. There's no filler. Every item is chosen for its craftsmanship, design, and lasting value. You can immediately tell the difference in quality when you receive an Article piece. Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada with options for professional assembly if you prefer a hands-off experience.
Can I just say the people who delivered my chairs
were
so nice that I was kind of like, why are you being so nice? And I was like, oh, this is good service.
Yeah, it's Article.
They're just providing really good service.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time I've had something delivered from Article, it's been that.
It's been lovely.
Different team every time, different people that are just like doing the best job. And I'm always like suspicious of it.
And
like, why are you so good at your job?
And Aaron, if you have a question or need help with your design choices, Article's customer care team is available 7 days a week, offering knowledgeable support and even free interior design services to help you get your home just right. With Article's 30-day satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence, knowing that if you're not completely in love with your new furniture, you can easily return it. This peace of mind ensures that you can invest in your home without hesitation. Article's offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/hysteria, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/hysteria for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for supermoms of all varieties, including dog, cat, human, and even bird.
Yes. Don't forget those bird moms.
Don't forget. I think bird mom is like a vocation. because those things live to be like 30. They live a long time.
Yeah.
And do you know loud. A bird mom?
I don't, but I see them often at the animal hospital.
Oh, when I grew up, we had chickens like when I was a kid. And some of them we just like let live forever. We just like never, they were like ornamental.
Yeah.
And some of them lived to be like into their teens. Like,
were they silkies?
No, we never had any silkies. I never liked the look of a silky.
We have a lot of silkies up in these parts.
No, we had milfleurs. We had Brahmas. We had barred rocks and Rhode Island Reds. If you like show me a picture of a chicken, I will probably be able to tell you what kind
of
chicken it is.
Such a trait.
I know. We had Egyptian phaeomys, an exotic. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can talk about chickens a lot. Polk County Fair, poultry showmanship champion.
You?
Seriously. Yes.
That's
amazing. 3 years in a row. I did not parade birds around. I just had to like answer questions about chickens. So I got chicken facts.
Queen of 4-H.
Chicken facts up in here. Okay. So before we get to Sandy Petty, some announcements for the class. After Trump won in 2016, it was clear waiting around wasn't an option. That's why Crooked Media was started and why Amanda Littman co-founded Run for Something, an organization that helps young candidates run for local office and actually win.
And in her new book, When We're in Charge, The Next Generation's Guide to Leadership, which is out now, Amanda shares what it looks like when a new generation steps into power, not just into politics, but in business, activism, and everyday life.
The book is a manual for leadership on your own terms. No fluff, no gatekeeping, no losing yourself in the process. Just real tools, honest lessons, and the kind of clarity today's future leaders actually need.
Get your copy of When We're in Charge at crooked.com/books now or wherever you get your books.
All right, time for Sandy Petty. Alyssa, I'm going to kick us off this week. I'm going to start with a petty. Alyssa, okay. I just sent you a link. I'd like you to click on the link and open it up and take a look at the picture.
Okay, stand by. I am clicking, and I'm open. Okay.
It is a picture that there is a picture that Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary of Donald Trump's administration, she posted it on Instagram on Mother's Day, and in the picture, she is sitting at her computer, holding her young son, and he's like drinking from a bottle, and kind of like she's holding him in her lap, and she's like typing, the framing of the picture was like, hey, super mom Caroline Leavitt, and Fox News reported that she's a super mom. The caption read, "There's nothing I love more than being his mom. Happy Mother's Day." The dad of the kid was not featured in the photo. I'm going to go ahead and say, first of all, yeah, fucking right, Caroline. Like, A, you definitely have a nanny. B, that was like the most staged photo I've ever seen. And C, you have a fucking husband. Your husband can hold the baby. You do not need to be holding a baby who's drinking his bottle while you're typing. Third of all, if you've ever tried to hold a baby and type at the same time, not possible.
Seems difficult.
No, and also dangerous. Like, your hands are this way. Babies are, like, really roly-poly. You could see how the baby was kind of, like, rolling back. My little daughter, Daisy, is almost a year old, and she cannot be left alone for a second. She will backflip off things. She needs to be strapped down into her high chair. This is a dangerous thing for a mother to be doing, is like having the baby rest on your forearms while you type some
what is this
dumb
nonsense
thing, or pretend to type. I don't know. It's really, really stupid. But, you know, I got to say, I got to give respect to the internet, which also was not having it. One person commented, where's your 80-year-old husband? one person said, he's such an adorable little fellow, so cute. Has he said his first lie yet? Which I think is very, very good. I also find it kind of ridiculous. One person said, it's crazy watching you highlight your motherhood while actively destroying that for other women, but I guess the delusion is just hitting differently. Somebody also wrote, this would be touching if you weren't helping to enforce a terribly evil agenda. Shame. I love a social media dogpile on a deserving target, and I think Caroline Leavitt and her forced-ass, fake-ass Mother's Day picture, 100% deserving target. Like,
I agree.
Your husband can hold the baby, you know? Your husband can hold the baby.
She's nothing if not performative.
She's nothing if not performative, but I'm sure that there are people that have never changed a diaper or haven't held a baby in at least like 10 to 30 years, or who maybe aren't allowed to hold their grandchildren because their children are like, you've gone off the deep end. You are a Fox News-pilled, insane person. I'm sure there are people who like don't really spend much time around and holding babies that were like, that's cool. That's good. That's cool and normal. She's such a super mom. Anyway, not having it, I appreciate that most people also were not having it. And that's what I'm feeling petty about this week.
I was good.
Alyssa, what are you?
I'm feeling Sanny.
You're feeling Sanny.
I'm feeling a little Sanny.
That's great.
I saw something that brought me joy. It made me feel good.
You sound so surprised. You're like,
I know.
It brought me joy?
Joy. Well, because I was like, is this real? I watched it like three times. Erin, in a world where corporations are not always bringing their best, do you know who's bringing their best right now?
Who?
Adidas. Do you know what they're doing? They have started a program that will launch in 2026. So this also, I like things when I find out something that I didn't know before. And this I learned from watching this piece on Adidas. So people with Down syndrome have differently shaped feet in many cases. Mm-hmm. They have very wide toe beds. They have very narrow heels. It makes it really impossible for them without proper shoes to move comfortably through this world and in particular do things like run and play games and participate in ways that other kids might be able to. So Erin, Adidas is launching a program to help make shoes for people with Down syndrome so they can live and move comfortably through this world.
Oh,
and it
great.
Is like they have all these like pilot program families and they show, because at first I'm like, how are they going to do this? There are like these sort of like blocks of foam that you put your feet in and they take an imprint of your shoe and then they make the shoe and they showed people walk comfortably. Oh my God, I'm getting like choked up. Mm-hmm. Walk comfortably for the first time ever. And when you think about what that must be like the pain and the discomfort that they get used to and how you literally, even when you want to participate and be a big part of the world, you can't because you can't move in the same way. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, and the people at Adidas are clearly so proud too that they have done this, that it's been able to come to fruition. And I just thought it was fucking great. Like, mm-hmm. doing something, I don't think they're going to fucking get rich. I don't think Adidas is going to make like a gabillion dollars off of this program, but they're going to help a lot of people live much more comfortable lives and participate the way they should be able to. And I think that that deserves a shout out.
Oh, that's great. You know, I had an uncle that had Down syndrome, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Him being able to leave the house and like go to, there was like an adult learning center he would go to sometimes. And I know a lot of other people with Down syndrome or developmental disabilities, they really develop a lot. They really like derive a lot of self-worth from being able to like go to work.
Be independent. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And like do things that like enable them to live as independently as possible for them. And that's really nice.
Yeah, it was great. I was like proud.
I love that.
Good for the Germans.
Good job, corporation.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of Hysteria. Alyssa Mastromonaco, thank you so much for being my ride or die this week, as always. Listeners, if you want to get in touch, if you want to, you have a tip, you have thoughts, you just, you know, want to vent, you just want to say hi, hysteria@crooked.com. A few of us check that, so don't send anything like too personal, but that's hysteria@crooked.com if you want to get in touch. You can also find Alyssa and me on the socials, and there will be more Hysteria for you next week. Thank you so much. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusives like This Fucking Guy, our video series. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits. Sharia, who's making progress with meds.
and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.